Today I thought we'd take some time and talk about what it means to be successful in the goals that we set out for ourselves. Is anybody here a big goal setter? Anybody like set out goals? And, you know, I used to not be like that until I met Pastor Dave. And now I'm like, I got goals that need to be met. But it's good to have goals. But I think like maybe for quite some time, a lot of us, and maybe we're still there, but, you know, March hit, you know, it's almost like, you know, do you remember where you were at when, you know, when September 11th happened, when the space shuttle happened, when, you know, maybe Vietnam happened or something, you know, where were you at when the whole quarantine COVID thing happened? And we can remember what happened back then. And, you know, March and April, we were all just probably, maybe if you were like me, in a daze, just trying to figure out what is going on. You know, are we all going to die? Are we all going to be able to come out of our houses sometime? You know, I was coming to the church here, and I remember for quite some time leaving home in the evening, and there was no cars on the road at 5 p.m. Zero. I'd be down, we call it the five-way, 256 and Livingston and that. No cars at that intersection. And then like about mid-May, I remember I was talking to Kim on the way home. I was like, there's like two other cars at the intersection. No, the five-way, the big one. And, you know, things started opening up, and I think, you know, and then around June, we started kind of getting back into the swing of things. But, you know, some of us are still kind of like, well, we're not really too sure. Maybe I've lost my job, or maybe I just haven't found my stride yet. I'm kind of stuck in this rut. And when it comes to setting goals, I think I speak for all of us when I say this year's goals just got blown up. You know, the goals that I have set just completely melted down March 15th. And so now we're trying to figure out where we're at. And a lot of times what happens is when we don't reach the goals that we have set, you know, we feel like failures, right? We feel like feelings of inadequacy and maybe some things that we've harbored inside, like self-esteem issues and stuff come up, and we just don't feel good because the goals we have on the calendar haven't been met. And then, you know, we have the climate that's in our society right now. Everything that's going on. We have a heated political election season coming up. It just seems like they get more heated and more heated and more heated. Which, by the way, for the next few weeks, starting next Sunday, we're going to do a sermon series called Jesus in Politics. And I pitched the idea to Pastor Dave, and he loved it. I said, nope, you're not preaching any of these. But you know what? I want to give you my take on election seasons, and we're going to take a look at how Jesus would see it, right? Because some in this room say he'd be a Republican, and some in this room say he'd be a Democrat, and others would say, no, he's an independent. Well, we're going to look at that. So I'm really excited about that, and I think that'll help us as we move closer to November. But you know, it is going to take the church. It is going to take the believers in Jesus to bring the peace and stability that society right now is longing for. You know, nobody else can bring that peace and that stability that's going to be on rock solid ground outside of Jesus. Because here's the thing, here's my analogy. Putting our hope in politicians is like putting water in a paper bag and expecting to get it across town. It's not going to work. So how do we as individuals, how do we stay strong and healthy spiritually? The question that I want to ask is, are we in it to win it? That's the title of today's sermon. And hopefully by the end of this message, you'll say, yeah, I am in it. I'm in it to win it. Because when it comes to winning, when it comes to succeeding, there's two types of people in this room, two types of people in life. There's a type of person that is so competitive that no matter what they do, they have to win at all costs, right? You sit down at the dinner table, you got to be the first one done. You got to be the first one to empty, you know, your table and wash your dishes and get it done. You got to be the first one in line at the water fountain at school. You got to be the first one to sign up for things. You got to be the first one done with the test. You got to be the first one done with everything. And you don't understand why nobody else is like that. Like, where's your drive? And then there's people who go through life, and for whatever reason, you know, you feel like you're going through a maze, this race, and you're not too sure where the finish line is. And you're just trying to make it through day by day. Life just seems to be passing you by. And so the question that you ask is, what am I doing? How do I get through the next day? What is my win? For instance, if you're married, what's your win? What do you consider a successful marriage? What's your goals to have a successful marriage? If you're a student, what's your win? To get good grades so I can go to a good college. After that, what's the win? A career. If you have a career, what's your win for that? Are you satisfied where you're at, or do you want to keep working up the ladder? With your finances, what is your win? In ministry, what are the goals? What do you consider a win? Because if we don't have an end goal in mind, it's like, you know, with our families, with our careers, with our finances, with all the things in our lives. Here's what happens. You're going through life, you're running a race, and when you cross the finish line, you keep on running. Because you don't have any goals to meet. You don't have any things to set as wins. There's no accomplishments that are established in your life. Does that make sense? We just keep chasing after something, and then when we get it, we just keep going for more of what we were chasing after. And you know what this leads to? Tired people. Because you're just running and running and running in life. Just trying to get through the next day. That's why they call it the rat race. Just trying to get going. You see, in the areas that matter the most, a lot of people never define the win. They don't have goals established. And they don't have an end goal in mind for certain chapters of their lives. And when this happens, then they end up creating not goals. You know what a not goal is? Well, I'm not going to be like them. I'm not going to have kids like theirs. Right? We end up comparing ourselves. And not goals are not good to have. Again, so are we in it to win it? Do we have, and for this particular season in life, really, I think a lot of us, some of us are already there, but a lot of us, I think, we need to get back on track. We need to establish those goals again. And let me help you. It's not complicated. Goals should not be complicated. I think oftentimes we set these grand goals that we want to meet, and they're so far out there, we never meet them. So I'm going to give you an example of some goals that Kim and I have set for our marriage. 15 years, going strong, probably the best marriage in this room. Maybe not, there's more, we've got more. But you know what? We decided when we were engaged, these were some goals, these were some things that we were going to establish in our marriage, okay? Number one, Jesus comes first. He's more important to Kim than I am to her, and he's more important to me than she is to me. And then Kim comes next for me. I'm not. Am I next? I'm next for her. We did discuss this, but it's hard. These masks, you can't see facial expressions. The second one is this. We would never speak bad of each other. Never. Not in front of each other, and especially not away, not apart from each other. We don't cut each other down. We don't do it. We lift each other up. And then the third one is this. We always find time throughout the week to spend time with each other. And now that we have kids, we have family time. Every week. If a week gets busy, we check with each other. Hey, it looks like I'm going to be, yeah, that's fine. Let's move it to this night. That's what we consider a win in our marriage. And it works. Does that sound complicated? It's really not. You know? I think we set goals so far apart that they're out of reach. You know, and here's something else. This is something I learned from Pastor Dave. If you have a goal coming up on your calendar and it looks like you're not going to meet it, and then you get frustrated and you're like, ah, so much stuff coming in. Click it and move it 2 months down. Move it back. Just move it back. Big deal. If you didn't mean it, move it back. And if you do that 3 times, 4 times, take it off the calendar. You weren't going to do it anyways. Yeah? Don't feel bad about it. You know, because in the process, you know what? I bet you're setting different goals and you're meeting other demands in your life. So with all this being said, we're going to take a look at somebody who wrote most of the New Testament. We're going to see what he defined as a win, what his winning statement looked like. Now, this guy, many of you may know, some of you might not, but his name is Paul. Paul was a Jewish religious leader, and after Jesus had died, was crucified, buried, and had risen again, as he's in heaven, Paul's main goal was to snuff out Christianity. And that's what he did, and he was adamant about it too, but then he has this radical encounter with Jesus. Jesus meets him where he's at, and Paul all of a sudden has a change of mind. And he becomes a believer, and he becomes a disciple. And he ends up establishing these churches all around the Mediterranean area. He goes around, and he preaches the good news. He preaches the gospel, and he's on fire for Jesus. And he shaped a lot of Western civilization with his writings from the gospel. So we're going to take a look at 1 Corinthians chapter 9. This is how I believe Paul defined a win. Chapter 9, and we're going to start in verse 19. Even though I am a free man with no master, I've become a slave to all people to bring many to Christ. When I was with the Jews, I lived like a Jew to bring the Jews to Christ. When I was with those who follow the Jewish law, I too lived under the law. Even though I am not subject to the law, I did this so I could bring to Christ those who are under the law. When I am with the Gentiles who do not follow the Jewish law, I too lived apart from that law so I could bring them to Christ. But I do not ignore the law of God. I obey the law of Christ. We'll define that in a minute. When I am with those who are weak, I share with their weakness, for I want to bring the weak to Christ. Yes, I try to find common ground with everyone, doing everything I can to save some. I do everything to spread the good news and share in its blessings. The law of Christ that he's talking about, Jesus said in the Gospel of John, a new command I give you, to love others as I have loved you. So that's what Paul was talking about there. See, I think if we were to ask Paul, hey, Paul, what's your win? What is your main goal in life? What's your drive? What is it that you get up in the morning and you want to do every day? I think from reading that passage, it's to win people to Jesus. That's Paul's sole desire in life, was to win people to Jesus. And look at what Paul was adamant about, becoming like whoever he was with. Paul was a religious scholar. He was no dummy. He was also a Roman citizen, and he worked with the Roman authorities. So he knew his stuff. And then he went around and he started all these churches in the Mediterranean area. But you see, Paul said that when I am with the weak, I become like the weak. I become like those that I'm around. You ready for this? If Paul walked into a room and he saw that everybody was wearing a mask because they were nervous about what was going on, I bet you Paul would put on a mask and sit down and share the gospel with them. If Paul walked into a room and he had a mask on and nobody was wearing a mask and they were all confident about what was going on in life, I bet Paul would take that mask off and begin sharing the gospel with them. Paul became all things to all people so that he could share the gospel with people. If Paul was, we have another big issue going on in our country right now, you know, and that's with our African American community. You know, there's an oppression that they have been going through for many, many, many years, and because of what's been going on lately, that's coming out. We can't ignore this, church. It cannot be ignored, and it has opened my eyes to a lot of things. And we here at this church have started a group called Be the Bridge, and we have people from black communities and people from the white communities, and we have been meeting once a month. And you know what we've been doing? Listening to each other. Building bridges between our communities. So I believe that if Paul came to our Be the Bridge group, I believe that he would sit down and he would listen to what people were going through and what they felt. And then I believe he would share the gospel. I believe that Paul was taking on that he was following the ways that Jesus did. You know, Jesus, whenever Jesus did a story and he said, the kingdom of God is such as this, I believe all of a sudden he saw an opportunity to share what the kingdom of God was like. And I think that's what Paul did. I try to find common ground with everyone, doing everything I can to save some. You know, we are more like Jesus when we are defending the rights of others before we defend our own rights. Paul became all things to all people because he had a goal. His goal, his win in life, is to share Jesus, and the best way for him and for us is to find common ground with people around us. We can all do that. It's called listening. What's going on in your life? You know, this is what makes people feel accepted and not rejected. When you listen to them, when you find common ground with them. And I believe with all my heart that is what the Holy Spirit will use to create an opportunity for you to share the gospel. And then it seems like Paul's kind of changing the subject a bit. You know, and I think this is what helps him commit to his drive for his win. Let's continue to read and pick it up in verse 24. Don't you realize that in a race, everyone runs, but only one person gets the prize? That's interesting. So run to win. All athletes are disciplined in their training. They do it to win a prize that will fade away, but we do it for an eternal prize. So I run with purpose in every step. I am not just shadow boxing. I discipline my body like an athlete, training it to do what it should. Otherwise, I fear that after preaching to others, I myself might be disqualified. Paul starts out by telling us to run to win. Those of you that are very competitive, I know you read that and you're like, yes, I'm in. That's exactly what we should do. Don't do anything halfway. Go for first place all the time. And I think this is the point that Paul was trying to make here. In a race, everybody lines up at the starting line, right? You know where your competition is. You look to your left, you look to your right, all the runners are right there. You know your competition. In a football game, you line up, the opposing team, your opponent is across the line from you. You know who your opponent is. Soccer, you got a person that you're supposed to go up against. You know where your opponent is. Dance competitions, music competitions, robotics. You know where your competition is, because in those things, they go before you. So you know the score that you have to get if you want to beat the previous person. But when it comes to winning in life, in our marriage, in our careers, in school, with our finances, in our relationships, the competition is not so easily defined. And I think sometimes that might be what causes us to have a lack of urgency to win. That's why Paul says, run to win. Only one person is going to get the prize. Make sure you're the one. We are to live in such a way that we are prepared to win no matter what. Adapt. Something comes across your path, you adapt, you refocus, you readjust. Just like a quarterback, right? When a quarterback calls an audible, that's because he sees the opposing team has lined up in a different way. So he says, we got to do a different play if we want to win. That's what we have to do as well. This means also that we have to make sacrifices. There will be a price to pay if we want to succeed in life. See, Olympic competitions, this letter was written to the Church of Corinth. And outside the city of Corinth, every so many years, there were the Olympics. So these people would train for years, right? Every, I don't know how many times they did it. Maybe they just trained for 1 year. I don't know. But they went right outside of Corinth. So the church in Corinth would understand this analogy. They trained for years to win a crown, a prize that would only last for a few days. It was a crown of leaves. If you were in a wrestling competition, I mean, you wrestled or you boxed or you whatever, you outran everybody. So you could walk around town with a crown of leaves for a few days. But they did it because they were competitive. But the crown that a Jesus follower wins will last forever because it is an eternal in heaven. And that's what Paul was saying. Listen, these people that come outside your city, you know, and they train all this time to win this crown that will fade away. But the crown that you win will last forever in heaven. And because of this eternal reward, Paul said that he runs with purpose and in every step. I don't think Paul wasted a minute of his day. I really don't. Paul said, I'm not shadow boxing. I'm not punching at the air. I'm not grasping at straws. I'm not aimlessly going through life. I have a purpose. I have a plan for all that I do. How many of us can say that we have meticulously laid out a purpose and a plan for our lives, for our marriage, for our friendships, for our careers, for our school, for our faith, for our ministry? If we don't have a plan and a purpose for these things, we will go through life aimlessly wondering what is going to happen next. What's tomorrow going to look like? Because today was rotten. And we'll have nothing to aim for. We will have no goals in sight. Paul knew that by saying no to himself, he could stay focused on what he needed to do in order to carry out the goals that he had set before him. He was determined not to be disqualified for the race that he set out to run. He lived his life prepared to go the distance with a goal in mind, and he was not going to let anything get in his way. He was not going to let distractions disqualify him. He was not going to let people disqualify him. He was not going to let obstacles disqualify him. He had a purpose and a plan. And when you have a purpose and a plan, when obstacles come, you are more ready to adapt and change and rearrange things so that you can continue to carry out that plan. Amen? I mean, here's the bottom line. I will wrap it up with this. We can't go through life wishing and hoping and even praying for things to work out the way we want. Anybody have those prayers like, please, God, get me through? You know, please, God, help me get an A on this test. Well, you didn't study. Please, God, help me to get that promotion. Well, you weren't working hard. Please, God, I want to ask her to marry me. I hope she says yes. Well, you've been ignoring her. We can't go through life aimlessly, hoping and wishing things would turn out the way we want them to. We must go through life preparing to win. And the only way to be prepared is by saying no to the things that will distract us from winning. For all of us in this room, the clock doesn't stop ticking. Some of us will say, yeah, I know. I wish it would slow down for a day or two. And some of us, it's just starting. We only get to live our 20s once, our 30s once, our 40s once, 50s and 60s. We only get one shot at this, church. One shot. But it's never too late. You know, maybe you just heard what I said and you're like, I have years worth of regrets. Okay, put those behind you and focus on some wins. Just one. Do one win. No, don't set it so far out that you're not going to reach it. Keep it simple. Because if we don't determine what is important in our lives, society and culture will. The Bible will not have anything to do with it. And when it comes to winning, when it comes to you setting up a game plan for your life, you know what happens? Those closest to you, they win also. Do you know what happens when you don't set up a plan to win in your life? Those around you, they don't win either. So we can do this, church. We can move into a new season here. We can end 2020 on a good note. Would that be good? You know? What was that? Was it my favorite? I mean, so many memes, right? Here's the one. Here's the one. At this point, I'll just follow a clown into the woods. You know? We can't. We, church, the believers in Jesus, we need to set the example. We can do this. So let's make it a point. Let's plan on setting goals in certain areas of our lives. Keep it simple. And say no to the distractions that come up. Say yes to what matters the most. And start today. Make today. I have this sneaking suspicion that as we move into worship, which we're about to do here in a minute, as we move into worship, I think the Holy Spirit is going to speak to some of you. He's going to speak to some of you in a couple of areas. These are distractions. These should be wins. Amen? Let's pray. Lord God, I just thank you. Jesus, I thank you that we can meet like this. I thank you that we're all here together, God. And those that can't make it here, God, I ask that you bless them as equally, God. I thank you that we can still have online services, Lord. We can still upload the videos and stuff, and people can still partake in what we're doing, God. Lord, for those that kind of caught the vision of this sermon, God, that I pray that you'd speak to them. Help them to establish goals and set up wins in their lives. And maybe there are those, Lord God, who are like, I don't really have any wins. You know what? I feel like I've crossed the finish line numerous times and I'm just still running. God, I ask that you would help them just settle down, relax, refocus, and set up some wins. So we thank you for this, Lord. And we pray all these things in Jesus' name. Amen.